Here comes the star attraction, so don't you watch. Here comes the man of action, here comes the judge. On
If a president of the United States had to write all his own speeches, he'd spend all his time explaining policy instead of making it. So, presidents and presidential candidates hire speechwriters. We'll hear from one of the best-known presidential speechwriters in just a few moments. I'm Brad Crandall, and this is Monitor Music.
Give me your hand, come and join our traveling band. Reach on out to every man. Spread some love wherever you can. Never again, bearing sadness. You're among friends, sharing glad. There's no harm there. People who care will be there to lift you up if you should fall. One and all, join our laughter, let it ring out forever after. Opening hearts, joining hands all over the land. Come and join our traveling band. Welcome to our traveling band. If you are cold, you'll be warm there. If you're afraid, there's no harm there. People who care will be there to lift you up if you should fall. One and all, join our laughter, let it ring out forever after. Opening hearts, joining hands all over the land. Come and join our traveling band. Welcome to our traveling band.
That's Ed Ames and his traveling band.
It's hard to find anything encouraging about the newest facts on cigarette smoking and its association with cancer of the lung. The number of people who die of this form of cancer every year is still on the rise. It'll be over 50,000 in the United States this year. Yet most people have heard that cigarette smoking is a major cause of lung cancer. This is true. It is not the only cause. But for instance, if you smoke two packs of cigarettes a day or more, you're 20 times more likely to develop lung cancer than non-smokers. If you're just an average smoker, the risk is still tenfold. There is scientific evidence for these statements, and lots of it. There is also a wealth of information now available on diagnosing lung cancer, on treatment, and on prevention. Do you know what these facts are? If not, we recommend that you write the U.S. Public Health Service, Washington, D.C., for their free, easy-to-understand folder on cancer of the lung.
Now, that presidential speechwriter I was telling you about. Here's Monitor reporter Betty Grobley.
I wonder if you know where the phrase Great Society came from. Well, it came from my guest, whose name was Richard Goodwin. He was a speechwriter for President Johnson, also for the late President Kennedy. He has worked for the late Robert Kennedy, and now he is working for McCarthy. Richard, how important is a flight this?
People like to have labels and brand names to try to sum up what program, even in politics. They like it for soups and for soaps, and I think they also like to be able to sum up political programs. It's really a handy reference to, as a label in which it contains generally the politics or the policies of a particular administration. They don't shape the policies, and they don't affect them. And what's done under that name is much more important than the name itself, but I think it just is a handy guide, and it's very helpful to newspaper reporters and journalists because then they can refer to an entire presidency with only a single phrase. They don't have to worry about the complexities of it.
As a speechwriter, do you find in your personally that you must respect, admire, believe in the same ideals of someone before you can work and write for them?
Well, that's sweeping, but I think what you have to do, at least you have to agree I use the word agree rather than believe. You have to agree with his general direction and with his policies and agree that he's moving and think that he's moving generally in the right direction. You're not going to agree with everything. If you did, that would mean you'd given up all your own independence of thought to agree with everything that another man stands for. But I think you have to have general belief that he's going in the right direction. I mean, and that's the direction that you personally want to follow.
Can there be an image that can be created? Are there such things, people as image makers? Can you make it?
A lot of people who call themselves image makers, in terms of presidential politics, I don't know of anybody who's been successful in making an image. I think that a man receives such intense exposure when he runs for the presidency, is on television so much, that his basic character finally begins to come through to people. I don't think you can create a phony candidate or create a man that doesn't exist. And I think that ultimately, I think people are much too intelligent. I think the whole concept is a tremendous underestimation of people's, not intellectual capacity, but of their ability to tell something about their fellow human beings, which is what, and I think, and to decide what kind of character they have. And I mean, if we really had effective image makers around, I suppose Johnson would still be the leading candidate for president.
Yes, what if someone has been trained to work in front of a camera?
Well, I think people know when a man's performing. And they know when he's acting, and they know when he's being real, and when he's him, and they finally, it may not the first time or the second time, but if you're on month after month and under the tremendous exposure of a presidential campaign, I think that people know that you're acting, and they know that you're phony. I'm sure Ronald Reagan would be exposed within 2 or 3 weeks as a rather hollow man if he ran for president, no matter how effective he is in front of a camera. Otherwise, if what you say is true, then we'd have nothing but television actors running for president, and David Brinkley would be the leading candidate for vice president.
And on that note, we thank speechwriter Richard Goodwin. This is Betty Grover's Home Auditor.
The weeks to come will determine whether Richard Goodwin will still have the job writing for a political candidate. And remember, you get comprehensive coverage of the nominating conventions throughout the day and night on NBC Radio and Television. NBC coverage of the Republican convention in Miami begins Monday, August the 5th.
Nationwide, it's NBC.
And nationwide, you're on the Monitor Beacon.
What is a play school? It's not just a place, it's a way of living for thousands of city-bound children who would otherwise have no place to stay after school in winter, all day in summer. For 51 years, Play Schools Associations, with your contributions, has pioneered in setting up constructive play programs in public school buildings and housing developments and day camps, community centers, and hospitals. Here, children play and work together under the supervision of trained play schools teachers, who gives them an introduction to the world they will meet as adults. Here, they discover the excitement of block building, puppeteering, painting, and in summer, there are trips to the country, to the beaches, to the city's many parks and zoos. Each year, as the city grows, the demands grow on play schools to help broaden the horizons of all children. But only with your support can we do the job. Won't you help us bring the fun of play into children's vacation days this summer? Send your gift today to Play Schools Association, 120 West 57th Street, New York, 10019.
Monitor, New York. WNBC, New York. At 17 minutes after the Monitor Hour, the Vogues with Turn Around, Look at Me.
Thank you.
I'm afraid I can't tell you.
You're kidding. How do you expect to sell cars if you won't tell people the price?
Well, let me explain. Only the price of this specially equipped Javelin is a secret. If you guess it, you can win a Javelin free. It's all part of the American Motors Dealers Smart Buyers Convention, where you can now save a ton of money on any American Motors car.
I think I love you.
Licensed drivers 18 and over eligible, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Coming up, Monitor's expert on nothing with opinions on everything, Al Capp. Right after we hear Dean Martin's latest, That Old Time Feeling.
Well, I'm sorry, but it took me by surprise to be looking in those old familiar eyes. If I'm acting funny, please don't turn away. Seeing you has brought me back to yesterday. Yes, you're looking in another world where love was new to me, but I learned my lesson when I let you go. And there's one thing that I wanted you.
Policeman hits a student demonstrator. Is that brutality? And when a student demonstrator hits a police officer, what do we call that? brutality or simply provocation? Monitor's Al Kep has some thoughts on that.
In a commencement address I delivered at an Eastern college last month, which was reprinted here and there around the country, I mentioned that the police of a certain city had been criticized fiercely for having used force to subdue a gang of students who'd fired shots at them from the dormitory windows of a large university. A lady professor read it in the Boston Globe and fired off an indignant letter to their readers' column. She denounced me as an unprincipled liar. Those were her words. She'd been at the university. She was teaching there at that very time, and she said her students had not fired shots at the police. They had tossed Molotov cocktails. It was this provocation, she said, and provocation was the word she used, that had been the excuse for the police, who she conceded had done nothing up to that time, to use brutality on her students, and brutality was her word, too. I replied to the lady professor in the columns of the Boston Globe. I asked her if she'd ever seen a human body hit by a Molotov cocktail, and policemen, I reminded her, were human. I assured her it made a far bloodier mess. I asked the lady professor why she considered an attempt by students to murder policemen a mere provocation, but any attempt by the police to defend themselves, brutality. And then I asked all the readers of the Boston Globe, and I ask you, why are we surprised that we have students like those when we have professors like that? This is Al Kep on NBC's Monitor.
This is Sergio Mendez in Brazil 66. New on Monitor, The Fool on the Hill.
Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still. Nobody wants to know him. They can see that he's just a fool, and he never gives an answer. But the fool on the hill sees the sun going down, and the eyes in his head see the world spinning round. Well, on his way,
believe me, it's for real. New Ultra Bright, give your mouth a sex appeal.
New Ultra Bright.
Extra Bright toothpaste, the kickiest taste, the freshest breath, the brightest teeth. That's sex appeal.
New Ultra Bright toothpaste, a taste you can really feel. New Ultra Bright gives your mouth sex appeal.
After Ultra Bright, everything else is just toothpaste.
Love, Horace Jankowski. Some people think modern art is a lot of junk. At a sculpture exhibit in Coventry, England this weekend, it was. An American visitor to the exhibit happened to notice one piece of sculpture that wasn't in the catalog. Turns out it was a heap of scrap metal from old car engines placed there by a group of college students. If you think that's funny, about half the visitors termed the whole exhibit rubbish. For Monitor, this is Brad Crandall. Back shortly.
Don't go away, there's more to come, more to interest everyone. Just stay tuned, we'll be back soon with Monitor.
Have you been thinking about adopting a child? There's a boy or girl of Negro or interracial background waiting for your love and care. The qualifications for adoption are sensible. To see if you qualify, contact the New York City Division of Adoption Services at 433-3306. That's 433-3306.
Monitor New York, your weekend sound on WNBC New York.
Five minutes of Monitor music. First, Hugo Montenegro's orchestra and chorus. There's got to be a better way.
Thank you.
this is Caravelli's orchestra. Congratulations. Political nominating conventions getting underway next week. If you're a gavel-to-gavel watcher or listener, like I am, you may like to be as fully informed as possible. In a few moments, you'll be hearing about a good way to fill yourself in on pre-convention information and about a guide on how the convention works. But first, monitor music. Jennifer sings Chelsea Morning.
Woke up, it was Chelsea morning, and the first thing that I heard was a song outside my window, and the traffic wrote the words. It came ringing up like Christmas bells, and wrapping up like pipes and drums. Oh, won't you stay full in the day, and worry till the night comes. Chelsea morning, and the first thing that I saw was the sun through yellow curtains and the rainbow on my wall. The red, green, and gold to welcome you, crimson crystal beads to beckon. Oh, won't you stay for the day? Let the sun show every second. It was Chelsea morning, and the first thing that I knew, there was milk and toast and honey, and the bowl of oranges too. And the light poured in like butterscotch, and stuck to all my senses. Oh, won't you stay here today, and we'll talk in present tense.
Most of you know the name Ben Grauer, certainly one of the most honored on NBC since 1930. Well, since last year, Mr. Grauer's been editor of the NBC Yearbook, a picture and word composite of the major events of the year. Ben, when you edited the yearbook last year, you covered only the calendar year, but this year, I noticed that you've actually gone through all of 1967 and into part of 1968. How come?
Well, we felt after editorial conferences that the rush of news was so big in the spring of 68 when LBJ withdrew, and then a few days afterwards Martin Luther King was shot, and the sense that the upcoming conventions and elections, the student riots in Colombia and then the riots in France, and we felt we just couldn't close the book on December 31st. There was too much, and we were able to include these giant events of early 68, and particularly a guide to the conventions and the presidential election.
Well, I notice there is a special sort of preview in regard to the forthcoming conventions. How deeply did you go with this now?
I think we did, in our 32 pages here, quite a complete summary of the beginnings of conventions, outstanding elections in our history. The national tickets from 1900 to 1964 are shown with the electoral and popular votes for. Then we have a rundown on each of the major contenders. Remember, this was done about a month ago, and we closed just after the assassination of Robert Kennedy. And, of course, biographies of the leading contenders, if you will, Rockefeller, Nixon, and Reagan, Humphrey, McCarthy, Wallace, and we even included a rundown of President Johnson, of LBJ, in the event that some extraordinary event happens at the convention.
Mm. Dan, what about this section regarding this preview of the convention? Would you suggest that somebody who's interested in pursuing and watching the convention as it comes along this year would find that this would be useful advance material?
I think it's a particularly useful part of the whole review of the year that's in the NBC News book this year because, for instance, here's a table with the percentage of votes by groups in presidential elections for the last 14 years by sex, men and women, white and non-white, college, high school, and grade school, Protestant, Catholic, Republicans, Democrats, and Independents, showing how the voting groups in the nation have moved from one position to another, how percentages have gone up and down. And I have one chart that I'm particularly proud of, working with the Bureau of the Census of the U.S. government, showing the voting age population in the United States by age groups as of this month of July 1968.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a chart which shows the 1966 election results for each of the 435 congressional seats, so that a reader, wherever he lives in the 50 states, can see how the party stood in his particular district in the last election. And then another important chart is, of course, the votes in the both conventions, the Democratic and Republican, the number of votes that each state delegation has, and those all-important electoral votes.
Do you remember the formula by which convention delegates are chosen? That's something that is so wild, but it's different in every state, isn't it?
That's why we took copped a plea on that and said it varies, but here's the end result of what the states do.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's a useful chair-side tool to follow the conventions as well as remembering what happened in the great past year. And I think in summing, you might say, Brad, that what happens in the conventions in Miami and in Chicago will only be a reflection of the events of the immediate past which are reflected in the pages of this yearbook.
We've been talking with Ben Grauer, editor of the NBC Yearbook, a review of major news events. This might be a good time to remind you that for comprehensive coverage of the conventions Ben and I were talking about, you're tuned to the right spot, NBC Radio and Television. The Republican Convention in Miami begins August 5th, a week from tomorrow.
Stay right here on the NBC.
In the mirror and stares at the wrinkles that weren't there yesterday. Thinks of the young man that she almost married. What would he think if he saw her this way? She picks up her apron in little girl fashion as something comes into her mind. wife who gave up the good life for me. Photograph album she takes from the closet and slowly turns the page. Carefully picks up the crumbling flower, the first one he gave her, now with every day. She closes her eyes and touches the house dress that suddenly disappears. Just for the moment she's wearing the gown that broke all their minds back so many years. Oh, such are the dreams of the everyday housewife you see everywhere any time of the day. An everyday housewife who gave up the good life for me. You see everywhere, any time of the day. An everyday housewife who gave up the good life for me. Oh, such are the dreams of the everyday housewife. You see.
Glenn Campbell's latest news, views, and results in auto racing coming up shortly as Chris Economaki reports on Sport of Speed. Just stay right here on the Monitor Beacon. This is Sterling Yates. If you're a bargain hunter, you'll enjoy tracking down the quarry on my show and sell weekdays from 10 to 11 a.m. on WNBC. Now, whether you're in the market as a bear or a bull, you'll enjoy the trading on my show and sell. So listen and call mornings from 10 to 11. Anything's fair game. Not all Americans share this nation's promise. Hundreds of thousands of citizens are victims of the city ghettos. Their hope lies with you. They can help themselves if you point the way to educational and economic opportunities. Please send a contribution to Community Development Foundation, 345 East 46th Street, New York, New York, 10017. That address again, Community Development Foundation, 345 East 46th Street, New York, New York, 10017.
Monitor New York, your weekend sound on WNBC New York.
Dead Crandall and Monitor at exactly 11 minutes before the hour.
Nationwide, it's NBC.
Monitor presents Sport of Speed. It's time for your weekend checkpoint with Chris Economaki, with action from the world of auto racing. Brought to you by the refiners of world-famous Pennsylvania-grade crude oils. Chris will be along in just a moment. But first of all, let me ask you a question that people quite often ask us. What's so great about Pennsylvania-grade crude motor oils? All right, let's put it this way. Some oils take several days to produce. Pennsylvania crudes took a million years. Nature has never produced a crude oil like it. Pennsylvania crudes have a unique molecular structure that stands up to the heat of high speeds. Can you imagine what happens to lesser oils when they're thrashed around several thousand times a minute at turnpike speeds? Pennsylvania-grade crude motor oils never get so stirred up that they forget what they're supposed to do. So for the good of your engine, insist on Pennsylvania-grade crude motor oils. And by the way, all of you sports car enthusiasts, when is your club holding its next rally? You can get a complete rally kit with checkpoint signs, windshield numbers, and sanctioned scoring slips from the Pennsylvania-grade Crude Oil Association. For just $1, you get six big checkpoint signs, windshield stickers numbered 1 through 100, and a pad of 120 rally scoring slips. Send your dollar to Checkpoint, Box 96, Oil City, Pennsylvania, zip code 16301. Now, here's Chris Economaki.
Thanks, Mel. David Pearson, the factory Ford driver from Spartanburg, South Carolina, is busy increasing the point lead he wrested from Bobby Isaac Thursday night. Last night at Nashville, Tennessee, Pearson beat the best NASCAR had to offer and the rain as well, as he was flagged home a winner after 301 laps of the scheduled 400-lap race. Second in the event on the half-mile bank track at the State Fairgrounds was Plymouth driving Richard Petty, with Chevelle mounted Bobby Allison third. Isaac, who had been leading in points all season until Pearson beat him at Maryville, Tennessee Thursday night, finished fourth in his Dodge. And the road racing buffs had a big weekend at Road America up in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, with 2 days of racing. Yesterday's event for SCCA Open Wheel Grand Prix Formula Cars went to Jerry Hansen, who drove to victory over Henry Cadler and Brian O'Neill, making it a three-way sweep for Lola Chevy. Today, the Elkhart attraction was the Road America 500, penultimate event on the U.S. Road Racing Championship schedule. After 5 hours and 16 minutes of racing over the winding four-mile circuit, former champion Chuck Parsons came home the winner in a car he shared with Skip Scott. Heavy favorite Mark Donahue in his Sunoco special led the first 160 miles before turning over to co-driver Jerry Hansen. But shortly afterwards, the car retired with engine trouble. Ed Lowther and Bob Nagel took second in their McKee Ford, with Brian O'Neill and Jeff Stevens third in a Lola Chevy. Today, at Langhorne Speedway in Pennsylvania, it was a day for record-breaking. Al Unser ran his USAC victory skiing to four straight, winning both ends of the twin 100-mile races for Indianapolis cars. Al led brother Bobby home by 3 seconds in the first century run, with Wally Dallenbach third and Sam Sessions fourth. Fifth went to Jimmy Malloy. Gordon Johncock, who equaled Mario Andretti's record qualifying run at 128.086 miles an hour, was enjoying a big lead when he ran over Sam Sessions' wheel on the 29th mile and crashed into the railing, seriously wrecking his Gilmore Broadcasting special and suffering a cut nose in the process. In the nightcap, Al Unser and brother Bobby rubbed wheels at the start, which later sent Bobby to the pits with a broken hub. Al was an all-the-way winner over Bud Tinglestad and Jim Malloy. With 5 laps to go, Wally Dallenbach, in a strong second place, ran out of fuel and quit the event. Bill Vukovich placed fourth, and Dallenbach was credited with fifth. Unser's speed in the green light second 100 was a record 122.328 miles an hour, some 9 miles faster than Lloyd Ruby's old mark. Mario Andretti fans were disappointed when he didn't get to run after blowing his engine on his second qualifying round. This is Chris Economaki reporting.
Sport of Speed with Chris Economaki is brought to you twice each weekend by the many famous brands of Pennsylvania-grade crude oil. For the lasting good of your engine, insist on a Pennsylvania motor oil. This is Mel Allen for Monitor Sports.
Them, the one want to share the dream you never shared before. To stand inside your soul, to unlock every door. And darling, even
that's Jack Jones on Monitor.
In my math class, I could figure to the fraction, but with the boys, I just didn't add up right. After class, I was the fella's first attraction, until I summed things up and switched to Ultra Bright. Ultra Bright entered my life. Now, Ultra Bright changed my whole life. My dates have been totaling up to 2 and 3 a night. The compliments keep multiplying up and out of sight. Loneliness is zero. Believe me, it's for real. Ultra Bright gives you now sex appeal.
Ultra Bright toothpaste, the kickiest taste, the freshest breath, the brightest teeth. That's sex appeal.
Ultra Bright toothpaste, a taste you can really feel. Ultra Bright gives you now sex appeal.
After Ultra Bright, everything else is just toothpaste.
Flakes, courtesy of Tony Osborne. All the news is next on NBC Monitor News on the Hour. I'm Brad Crandall.
The wheel must take the station break. Don't turn your set off, don't you make a mistake. Don't leave us behind, there's still lots more time.
If your problem is keeping up with what's happening in and around New York, my advice is, following Dr. Joyce Brothers, join me, Lee Leonard, weekdays 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. right here on WNBC. The latest news, the newest people, and the best ideas, yours and mine, on The Lee Leonard Show, 10 a.m. till 1 p.m. on WNBC Radio.
If you miss seeing the off-Broadway production, The Devil, His Due, it's not too late to enjoy it now at William Sloan House YMCA. A satirical review with 20 musical numbers that'll raise eyebrows as well as laughs. The Devil, His Due is playing Friday, Saturday, and Sunday evenings at 8:30 p.m. through Labor Day weekend. That's Sloan House YMCA, 356 West 34th Street. For complete information, phone Oxford 5-5133.
Monitor New York, your weekend sound on WNBC New York.